Red Eye is 3 hours of alternative politics and culture, broadcast live from 9 until noon every Saturday morning on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM in Vancouver, Canada. Here's Lorraine Chisholm.
The Vancouver docks are riddled with criminal gangs. They're open to infiltration by terrorists. Security obviously needs to be dramatically tightened. These are the themes being put forward to justify new regulations for security on the docks by Transport Canada. To examine the realities behind these contentions, we're joined by Terry Engler. Terry is the president of Vancouver Local 400 of the International Longshore and Warehouse Union. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning.
Let's start with the existing security regulations on the docks. What kind of regulations currently exist?
Right now, Local 500, the main Vancouver local of the Longshore, has worked together with Transport Canada to put together a system where everyone that's on the docks that's in Longshore have a picture ID on them, and the gates are to the docks are all closed, and you need to have this picture ID to get inside. The picture ID is put together by Longshore, by Local 500, and the employers have all your records, your SIN number, and basically all that's necessary. And to work on the cruise ship dock, there's a further, another level of security. You need a special security pass from the cruise ship to enter the cruise ship. So there's right now, we're probably one of the more secure docks in North America. We did a tour down south, and down south in the United States, they're quite a bit behind us on the implementation of what's called ISPS, which is the International Shipping and Port Security.
What about the new regulation? What's being proposed?
I didn't get that question very well.
What's being proposed with the new regulations?
The new regulation that the government has proposed involves some extremely intrusive record checks, and the basic understanding of it is that we're guilty until we're proven innocent. We have to give all credit information, our travel information, information on our families, our in-laws, and information that's not, we see, not in any way necessary and an extreme intrusion in our privacy.
Now, I understand that there's going to be some. Increases as well in the kind of identification that you need to carry.
Well, they would be a separate path, and there would be biometrics proposed on it, which would involve either a fingerprint or eye or retina scan or something like that. Which, again, we don't see the necessity for such. Device on a card. We have picture ID. They know who we are. The employers know where we live. That's enough information. And if there's a problem, they should be able to deal with that.
What's this going to mean to people working on the docks?
Well, what it will mean to people on the docks is that in the first place, there's an incredible level of stress. Because if, for instance, if my parents or an uncle of mine had been involved in some either illegal activity or some activity that has now been deemed to be illegal, if they were perhaps a member of some political organization that around the world has now been deemed to be a terrorist organization that but 4 or 5 years ago was not, or if they are in fact a member of some organization that's illegal, and you would then be or could quite possibly be tarred with that same brush, is that you're a security risk because your cousin, your uncle, your father, your mother-in-law is doing something illegal. But we may be perfectly innocent with no charges against you, but you may not be allowed to work because of what your family has done.
How many workers would be affected by this then?
Well, the government in the St. John's, they traveled across the country in what they called consultation meetings, but basically they didn't pay much attention to what we were saying. They said they were going to do 10,000 workers a year, which is pretty shocking since there's less than 10,000 longshore workers in all of Canada. So clearly the plan is that this system would expand beyond beyond dock workers to my group of workers, which are marine section. We work on tugboats and for a seafarer identity document, and then probably truck drivers, all transportation workers. With 10,000 a year, it's a gigantic catch.
So it sounds like there's a real increase in the regulations for certainly for certain part of the docks where you have workers working. Are there areas at the docks that that aren't subject to these proposed regulations or that aren't being monitored by the security system?
Well, that is what the government is saying. They're designating specific sections of the dock. At least that's what their plan is to designate specific sections of the dock as higher security. The problem with that is that the catch that it is fairly broad. Like right now, I think there are customs areas that only customs officials get into, and that's perfectly reasonable. But what they have increased that to cover the cruise ship terminals, and for the longshore workers, they need to get a certain number of hours per year in order to get pension and benefits, and the cruise ship work is very important to them, and they basically work, most longshore workers change their work site on a daily basis or weekly basis. So workers that can't get clearance to go into the higher security areas just wouldn't be hired by the employer because it would be just too complicated. For instance, in my industry, there's already a problem if you have a charge against you, even some charges as many as 20 years ago, that makes it difficult for you to enter the United States. Our bigger companies are saying they don't want to hire you because often we're in the States. So right now, that's already a problem. So it's not going to work that they can say that you can work in a certain area and you'll still be hireable. Basically, the employers are going to say, if you can't work on the whole dock, you can't work anywhere.
It sounds by what you're saying that the new measures that are being brought in have a lot of kind of arbitrary nature to them and that they could affect workers not... unequally, even though they may not have any real kind of security problems, is there an appeal process? And this would prevent people from working if they were found to be a security risk. So, is there an appeal process if people are prevented from working because of this legislation?
Well, that's one of the major. There's many real problems with this regulation, but that is one of the worst parts of this regulation is that there virtually is no appeal process. If you're deemed to be not cleared, you have 15 days to appeal to the same people that deemed you that you're not clearable, and then if that doesn't get you anywhere, and they don't necessarily even have to tell you why they've not cleared you, then you can hire a lawyer to go to federal court, which is a very expensive proposition and certainly beyond most workers' ability.
It sounds like the system really transgresses what we would consider the kind of rights that people have, so not to be guilty by association and to be considered, you know, innocent before... be considered innocent until, you know, something was proved against them. And although this isn't like a criminal charge that we're talking about, it really prevents people from creating a livelihood.
Well, certainly, not only does it prevent people from creating a livelihood, you will have, I'm sure there will be numerous workers who have worked most of their entire life in this industry and have people in my industry, in the towboat side and in the longshore side. It's a job you can do that you can make a good living at, and you don't have necessarily skills that are transferable to any other industry. So people that are here are going to lose their jobs. They're not going to know why they've lost their jobs necessarily. It can be simply because a relative has done something. They're also going to do credit checks, and so if they believe that you have too much money or not enough money or you have bad credit rating, they could say, well, you could be suborned into doing something illegal. So what they're a gigantic expansion of information that we don't feel has any real relationship to criminality. Like, there are lots of people that are in debt. Our society's highly indebted. and credit cards are what people use. We've got members, I'm sure, that are in debt, and Longshore have members that are in debt and members that have saved their money very well and have been fortunate. And so any of those things can also lose your right to work. And it is taking away the rights of the worker to be treated as a part of the security, which is what we have been all along, is that it's our work site. It's where we need to work. And we're not going to allow people to do things on our work sites that are going to endanger our work. Like, it just makes no sense. And then we have the government calling us criminals, and that we have to prove that we're not criminals. And we have to leave this up to some nameless bureaucrats in Ottawa, when in fact what the government should be doing is bringing back the Ports Police, which they disbanded for a savings of $10 million a year. And they had people that were on the sites. Like right now in Vancouver, we have a ship that comes in. They often go to different docks. So you could be dealing with the Vancouver Police one day, the North Van RCMP, the Port Moody Police, the Coquitlam RCMP. Like, what they're doing right now is they're forgetting the basics of security, which is to have a police force on the ground that are doing the work, that know what's going on in the whole dock, and not just this dock, docks across the country. Right now it's all fragmented, and every municipality does the port policing, which makes no sense. And whenever they've done when the government has looked into this in commissions, they've always come up with that you need to have a proper police force on the docks.
So why do you think that Transport Canada and the Federal Transport Minister want to bring in new regulations beyond what are international standards?
Well, I think that we don't really know the actual motivation. But from our perspective, what it seems to be is that it's either an attack on a very militant, strong trade union, Longshore, that they want to be able to impact, harm our union, or it's a sop to the Americans and to say we're doing something special. And right now, internationally, we're kind of looked at by workers around the world as a bit of a pariah, which is a bit of the opposite of what we're generally in Canada looked at, because this kind of legislation is being fought in other countries, against in other countries, and no other countries are actually talking about doing it except for Australia, and they're doing it on the basis that we're doing it. And it's not going to improve security on the docks. It's only going to target workers and impact workers' lives. Another one of the problems of the legislation is that there are just simply fines for businesses that break these rules, break the laws. They don't have to go through the same security checks, and they have three areas of appeal for employers for monetary fines. But workers have no appeal, and we lose our livelihood entirely. They get a small fine, or maybe even a large fine. So it seems to be an attempt at saying they're doing something rather than actually doing something.
Now I understand that these are just regulations, so they're not in fact legislation. Are the unions doing anything to try and have a parliamentary debate on this?
Well, that's certainly our position, that there needs to be a parliamentary debate on this. And in fact, there was just recently the government bureaucrats attempted to bring in this kind of regulation on members of parliament that weren't cabinet ministers, and the members of parliament felt that this was an incredible intrusion into their private lives. They wanted to know information on their spouses, and the government agreed that this was a wrong intrusion into their lives for members of parliament who actually sort of sit down and make regulation and legislation, that they feel that they shouldn't have to do this. Yet a worker who all they do is his assistant tying up a ship or load luggage onto a cruise ship, they have to have all this in-depth security check. It just makes no sense that if the MPs feel that it's wrong for them, why would they impose this on a large group of workers?
So what actions then are the longshore unions planning on taking?
Well, at this moment, we have hired a lobbyist in Ottawa. We have followed the Transport Canada stakeholder consultation across the country and spoke at every single meeting that they had across the country. We have hired a lawyer to look into a charter challenge. The Civil Liberties Association is involved in our case. And it's quite possible that if the government imposes this regulation, that there will be job action, possibly nationwide on the docks.
Well, Terry, thank you very much for joining me this morning, and good luck in struggling with this issue.
Thank you very much.
I've been speaking with Terry Engler of Vancouver Local 400 of the International Longshore and Warehouse Union. On February 2nd, Terry will participate in a public discussion titled War on Democratic Rights, What Happens to Our Democratic Rights in a Time of War. He'll be joined by author and journalist Naomi Klein and Harsha Ahluwalia, an activist with No One is Illegal. That's on Wednesday, February 2nd at 7:30 at St. Andrew's Wesley Church at Nelson and Burrard in Vancouver, and the forum is organized by stopwar.ca. And you can check the stopwar.ca website for more information on that.
You've been listening to a program produced by Red Eye, an alternative media collective which broadcasts every Saturday morning from 9 until noon on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM in Vancouver, Canada.